This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up exactly 8 years, almost to the hour, President Trump revoked an order issued by Barack Obama on January the 23rd, 2009, which forced U.S. taxpayers to fund overseas abortions through USAID. Chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows, has the details on the significance of President Trump's actions, and he'll join us in just a moment. Also, Friday's demonstrations went from bad to worse as protesters filled the streets Friday night and into Saturday morning. But on Saturday, hundreds of thousands marched in the Women's March. However, one group of women who were told they could not participate came anyway. Reagan Bridge with Students for Life tells us what happened. And I'll give you my perspective on inaugural events. Not only did I have the privilege to open one of the official events in prayer, I was able to witness the swearing-in ceremony. We'll talk about this new chapter in American history and what it means going forward. All that to come here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with what's happening, plus get my daily devotional tweet, at T. Perkins. That's at T. Perkins. A little bit later, we're going to open up the phone lines. Jot down this number, 866-372-7234. That number we'll call. You can call a little bit later when we open up the phone lines. All right, almost 8 years later to the hour, President Trump revoked a pro-abortion executive order from Barack Obama and reinstated a Reagan-era policy known as Mexico City policy, an international pro-life regulation that is generally seen as an indicator of an incoming president's view on abortion. How significant of an action was this by President Trump, and what does this tell us about what he may do in the future? Well, here to talk about it is the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows. Mark, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be back with you, and certainly it's a good day following the inauguration just a little bit less than 72 hours ago, and to see the action that our new commander-in-chief took today with the pen, and really it was a real shout-out, but not only a shout-out, but it was real action on behalf of the unborn that we certainly applaud.
Not surprised, because he had said that he was going to be a pro-life president more forcefully than any other Republican nominee that I can recall. But this order is actually a little stronger than some may have anticipated.
Well, it is. It's stronger. They've been working on it over the weekend, as you know. It really, for me, is a real confirmation that but not only the vote that I took and that you took and that many others took to have a president that would be pro-life, but one that actually followed through and delivered on his promises. And so to take this order and really say that this is going to be foreign policy, and to be able to stand the criticism that, you know, that the left is certainly going to wage against him because of it, I think not only do Americans, should they be applauding, but they should be very thankful that we have a president who not only says what he means, but means what he says.
And acts on it.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a lot of speeches and a lot of political rhetoric, but he's actually doing it. And he made that point in the inaugural address where he said, you know, it's time for action. And so he's showing that here, rolling up his sleeves and going to work. Now, this executive order, which was signed earlier today, it's 1 day after the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision back in 1973. Now, tell our listeners exactly what this executive order does, the implications of this from a practical standpoint of American foreign policy.
Well, it really reaches well beyond our borders. It sends not only a message to those countries that we interact with on a regular basis about the priorities of this administration, but what it also says is that federal tax dollars is not going to be used for abortion or forced sterilization, a number of things that moms and dads on Main Street would just find not only offensive, but they can't believe that their tax dollars would be used for. And so it also goes beyond that for those non-governmental organizations to say that you can't indirectly use that money to support these types of activities. I think it's a new day in foreign policy as well, Tony. I think what we have is a president who says that you may have been getting a message over the last 8 years from our State Department and from Washington, D.C., but that message is changing, and it's going to be one that is about families and pro-life and initiatives that are important to the American people, both domestically and strategically.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon, post-inauguration Monday. My guest, North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows, who is the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Now, Mark, let me ask you this. Where the State Department has been during the Barack Obama years, also using money through USAID, the U.S. Agency for Development, they have been using money to agitate and try to force countries or encourage countries, I'll be kind, to change their laws as it pertains to abortion. Where do we stand with that? Will this order in any way affect the way that money is spent, where it's not directly going to abortion, but it's trying to get nations that are pro-life to change their policies?
Well, it will address that, but there is more work, as you know, that needs to be done there from the very top, from our commander-in-chief as he sets forth his priorities with regards to the State Department or USAID. One of the biggest complaints that I've had are from African countries who are working to try to make sure that they provide jobs and educate and sometimes just feed their people. And yet we have advanced a social policy, either directly or indirectly, trying to make that aid contingent upon them embracing things that go against their culture, whether that's a Christian culture or a Muslim culture. Many times we see that over and over again. So this will actually send a very clear message that it is a new day, not only in Washington, D.C., but from here around the globe and in between, that it is important that we look at those that are in harm's way and provide that humanitarian relief, but yet at the same time not put some of the social strings that are attached to it in trying to affect domestic policy in abroad.
So, Congressman Meadows, let me make sure that our listeners understand what you were saying. The way our State Department has been operating is that they have, in these nations that have great humanitarian needs, food, basic supplies that we have been helping to assist them in feeding their people and taking care of these basic necessities, they have said, all right, if you want this, you got to change policies on abortion. They've tied the money to the changing of these policies, trying to impose a liberal view that we don't even necessarily have here in this country on these other countries?
Without a doubt, your analysis is spot on, and sometimes it's subtly, sometimes it's not so subtle. I mean, I've talked to foreign leaders of different countries, and they have said, well, we would rather not take the assistance from your country because you are challenging our beliefs at its very core. Now, and when we look at that, when we are looking at some of the people that are desperate for humanitarian aid, and we're trying to attach it to some other agenda that some liberal might have in a previous administration, I think it would go against just who we are as a people, and obviously is something that needs to be changed. And so I see this as the start of that. I again applaud the president for his willingness to take a bold move very early on, and in the keeping of Ronald Reagan's action so many years ago, we see that revisited. I think people are going to be very surprised about a president who not only talks the talk, but is willing to take action unlike any before.
Yeah, even in the face of strong criticism and opposition, because I saw that in the Bush administration, they were fearful of just the backlash from the media to take some very simple but important steps when it came to the life issue and other issues. Now, Congressman, let me ask you this. Mark, tomorrow the House is actually going to be taking up the issue of life. I believe we have scheduled for tomorrow a vote on the No Taxpayer Funding of Abortion Act, which, very similar to this, it bars taxpayer money from being spent to fund abortions. It's basically taking the Hyde Amendment and applying it across the country.
Well, it's my good friend, Congressman Chris Smith, who is, as you know, a champion for life, taking a real push. But I want to applaud our leadership, too. This is a very short schedule. As you know, we're going out on Wednesday for a retreat. We have the pro-life March for Life this coming Friday. And yet, in a short schedule, we're going to be taking a vote on the House floor tomorrow. So if you've got any of your listeners who have members who are undecided on that piece of legislation, a call to their office would certainly be appropriate. But you're going to see not only nationally but internationally a real move for pro-life, and it can't come any too soon. As you know, the attack for those who can't speak for themselves is unrelenting. But I do believe that I see some good news on the horizon.
And that, of course, this vote taking place before the annual March for Life, which we'll see in D.C. This coming Friday, be hundreds of thousands will converge on Washington, D.C. for the March for Life. And so Congress kind of getting in on it and in advancing this piece of pro-life legislation, which is very significant, and taking the Hyde Amendment and making it statutory so it doesn't have to be passed every year with every appropriations bill.
Well, it's certainly welcomed. I think it will, if signed into law, would have really one of the greatest pro-life pieces of legislation to have a lasting effect. And so we need to do that. And while I've got you, your listeners, if they would call the White House comment line and thank President Trump for his willingness to do this executive order, I think he needs to understand that there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who really stand strong for life. And so if your listeners will reach out to the White House comment line and let them know that they appreciate his repeal of the or institution of the Mexico City policy, that would be great.
All right. We'll certainly put that word out. Congressman Mark Meadows, thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to hearing more from the Freedom Caucus in this 115th session of Congress.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you and God bless America.
All right. Congressman Mark Meadows. All right. By the way, before you forget, let me give you the number to the Capitol switchboard. I'll give you the White House number in a moment, but let me give you the Capitol switchboard number, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. If you want to call your member of Congress and encourage them to support the No Taxpayer Funding of Abortion Act, which will be voted on tomorrow in the House. If you don't know who your congressman is, simply call the switchboard, tell them your zip code, and they will connect you to their office, your congressman's office. Again, 202-224-3121. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking about activities this past Saturday, the Women's March. Some women weren't welcome. We'll talk about that here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
From the ruling to uphold Obamacare's individual mandate, to the ruling to redefine marriage, to the ruling that allows the government to seize a citizen's home, these are the many important decisions that the United States Supreme Court has made recently. But did you know that each of these three decisions was determined by a one-vote margin? The Supreme Court's decisions affect all of us, and it decides about 70 cases every year. Over the next 8 years, we could get as many as 4 new Supreme Court justices. Furthermore, these justices will have a huge impact on the sanctity of human life, religious liberty, and the size and scope of government, and even parental rights. Join Family Research Council Action as we work to ensure the confirmation of Supreme Court justices who will uphold the Constitution and simply apply the law as the founders intended. Become a member today at frcaction.org. That's frcaction.org.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. 159 years ago, President Lincoln quoted the Bible saying, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." 101 years ago, President Teddy Roosevelt declared, "There's no room in this country for hyphenated Americans. The one absolutely certain way of bringing this nation to ruin, of preventing all possibility of it continuing to be a nation at all, would be to permit it to become a tangle of squabbling nationalities." Unquote. After the most divisive administration this country has ever known, we are divided and hyphenated not only by racial classifications as Native American or African American, but also by sexual categories of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, etc. Continued division leads to further brokenness, but there's healing in unity. By God's grace, let the healing begin. Let us be simply known as Americans, no hyphen needed. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
The rapid response arm of 8 Days of Hope is responding to tornado victims in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. On January 21st, a tornado severely damaged hundreds of homes and killed 4 people. Will you please volunteer to help Hattiesburg residents? Here's 8 Days of Hope director, Steve Tiber.
We need your help today. I mean, it's that simple. We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. You know, the best sermon I ever heard was the one I saw. We're just there to love others as God commands us. And here's where you and I get to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
To volunteer to help with Hattiesburg tornado relief, please visit 8daysofhope.com. Financial donations are also needed to support this ministry effort. To give, please visit 8daysofhope.com and pray for this relief effort and for the families affected by this devastating tornado. 8 Days of Hope is a nonprofit Christian ministry.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. Okay, I gave you the Capitol switchboard number. Let me give you the White House comment line. All right, then this is a number we haven't called in a while. That number is 202-456-1414. 202-456-1414. And just let them know. Just say, hey, just calling to say thank you to President Trump for reinstating the Mexico City policy. All right, or you can just say, hey, thanks for reinstating the pro-life policy, whatever you want to say. But it's always good for them to hear feedback. And he pays a lot of attention to that. And you can also, you know, tweet it. If you tweet, you can tweet it out. In fact, you could just take my tweet and retweet it. All right, enough tweeting. All right, while tens of thousands gathered for the Women's March in Washington, D.C., organizers and participants made it clear there would be no partnerships between their efforts and pro-life women's groups. So much for inclusion. Well, Reagan Barclay, she is the Western Regional Director of Students for Life of America, and they were at the march. Yes, they came anyway, and they were there. Brave. And she joins us now with an inside look on what the mainstream media really doesn't want you to know. Reagan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So you crashed the party.
Yes, we rained on their parade.
I can only imagine how that went. I mean, I was in D.C. trying to make my way through the streets, and it was crazy to say the least. But how did they respond to you?
You know, we definitely were not welcomed, and that was made very evident as soon as we got there. We were screamed at, yelled at. I had 2 men actually tear up my sign that said abortion betrays women. Some of our staff was spit at. It was just ridiculous, and it's just really sad to see that's where, quote-unquote, feminism is now in our country. And, you know, for other women to disrespect us like that was just really disappointing.
Well, Reagan, let me just say first, I have to commend you for your courage to go out there and be in the midst and be very clear about your pro-life stand. Was there at any point you were concerned about your physical well-being?
Yes. I mean, we were all really nervous about that. But you know what? It's so important that we take a stand for women that have been betrayed by abortion and the preborn women that didn't have a voice. So even though we were a little bit nervous, we knew that our message was strong and we have God on our side. And, you know, at the end of the day, if we were to get physically hurt, you know, we did it for a good cause, and it just proves that they are not a nonviolent crew. It was not a nonviolent march.
Not at all. And folks, I hope you're hearing what Reagan is saying. I was there driving through the streets trying to make my way to the airport after our events were over. And in fact, I even talked to a former governor who called me, who had been accosted. And in fact, his taxi cab had been jumped on and they were fearful. But hear what Reagan said, that they're committed to this issue of educating, helping women know the truth, and being willing to face the consequences of standing up for that message. Reagan, what would you say to other people in this, really what I would say is this window of opportunity to educate the public about the issue of life? You know, they don't have to go out to a march, but they can talk about it at work, or they can talk about it, you know, among their book club or something. What would you say to them at the opportunity that's before us?
Absolutely. You know, this is our time. This is a crucial time that we stand up for life, whether it's to our parents, our friends, our family, our peers, people at work. We cannot just let an opportunity bypass where we have the opportunity to stand up for life. And I just encourage people to have, you know, courage to post things on social media and to share their thoughts with friends and family, because that's what it's all about. If we don't change the culture that's going on, I mean, if people saw the culture at this Women's March, we just have to be the light in the dark and share the truth to people. Otherwise, our culture will never change.
Now, Reagan, I know that by no means are you sheltered as you deal with this issue of life. I mean, there's certainly the other side's very vicious. But was there anything that you saw there at the march on Saturday in this demonstration that you found shocking?
I mean, I feel like I don't even have words of how disgusting and vulgar the signs were that I saw. These little kids. You know, I'm sure you heard about the quote-unquote cats.
Right.
Let's figure that out.
I saw plenty of them.
Yeah, they had them on little kids had signs. And you know what? The original women's rights activists are rolling in their graves right now to see what they fought for women's rights and dignity, and that we have stooped so low now to be defined by our anatomy. It's just repulsive.
Yeah, and to have someone like Madonna being a spokesman for women.
Yeah. Like, she does not speak for me. And they were using the term abortion positive. This was not a women's rights march for all the other principles. This was strictly an abortion rights march. I mean, there probably were people there, and those people joined us. We even had people leave the march to join us and take a stand for life. But I mean, when Planned Parenthood signs on as one of the major partners, and one of the principles were abortion rights, we knew that we had to be there.
Well, this coming Friday, there's a march where you'll be more than welcome, and I'm sure you'll be there, and Students for Life will be there at the annual March for Life this Friday here in Washington, D.C. And let me we just got about 15 seconds, but from the standpoint of the young people in America, what's your message to them about the life issue?
We are going to abolish abortion in our lifetime, and it is time that the generation stands up, because a fourth of us are gone because of abortion. Our generation is being affected. We have to take a stand.
All right. Well, Reagan, thank you for taking a stand. I so appreciate the work that Students for Life do. We love to work with you all. You are courageous. You're inspiring. And we just pray God's blessing upon the entire organization.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for your support. We appreciate it.
All right. Reagan Barklage with Students for Life. I tell you what, folks, those kids have some courage to go out there. It was an ugly crowd in many different ways. But anyway, when we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on the weekend activities, the inauguration and everything else, and this new chapter that America has yet to write. That's coming up next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Well, this is the first full week of the new Trump administration. I got to believe that some of the focus, even this week, is going to be on trade. Some of you may have heard Foxconn, one of the largest, I'll call them subcontractors for the tech sector, talking about investing $7 billion in potentially building a factory here in America that could create 30 to 50,000 jobs. Now, they're already in talks with the state of Pennsylvania about opening and starting a molding plant, or we'll call it a cabinet plant, for these flat screens that they would build here. But they will be talking to Trump, and it looks like there's a possibility that we could see that happening here in America, and that would be a huge plus for permanent jobs, not to mention the construction jobs that it would create. So that's what we're hoping for. On the economic front, we are looking at existing home sales coming out tomorrow. Crude inventory is pretty important this week as everybody's talking about crude oil, so we'll watch that. New home sales expected to be down coming out Thursday. Existing home sales coming out tomorrow, they're also expected to be down. We get a look at fourth quarter GDP. It's expected to be 2.2%. We'll see. It's only the first look. The other important number, durable goods number, ex-transportation, that's expected to be flat. And Michigan sentiment, and that is a January number. So we'll get a look to see where that is. That's expected to pretty much hold.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. I'm thankful Dr. Piper filled in for me on Friday. I was wrapped up in the activities. Great, great series of events. I was honored to have the privilege of opening the candlelight dinner Thursday night with the president, vice president, the cabinet selectees, so on and so forth, and about 1,000 donors that underwrote the inaugural activities. I opened that event in prayer. Just a wonderful evening. But then the next morning, I was able to be at the swearing-in. In fact, was amazed at the seats we had, where we were literally sitting on the platform, just yards away from the president taking the oath. And beautiful view of the city, and then seeing the vast sea of people that were there to witness the event. And it was really fascinating to me as I sat there thinking about this, listening to the president's speech. Of course, I know I've heard all the criticism of it, and I'm going to get your take on that a little bit later. But I thought it was a very straightforward speech. And what was so encouraging to me about it, it's the same thing he said when he campaigned. But what was remarkable to me, and if you think about this, folks, this is remarkable, that there probably could not have been a more starker contrast between ideologies and the transferring of power from one administration to another. I mean, it's hard. It's possible. But it's hard to envision someone who had a more liberal, humanist worldview, ideological bent, and a true ideologue than Barack Obama. Now, I do think there's some folks more conservative than Donald Trump, but Donald Trump, in his own way, refusing to be harnessed by political correctness, seeing things very straightforward, running on this, speaking on the same themes, making America first again, taking on radical Islamist, talking about, and I will tell you, the prayers. And this was, I should have mentioned this. What was remarkable about what Thursday night when I prayed, they didn't tell me They said, look, you got 5 minutes. You can talk. You can pray, whatever you want to do. They didn't tell me what I couldn't pray, what I could pray. They didn't ask to see it. They didn't say script it out. Said, come and pray. Same thing, I understand, with those who prayed at the inaugural. Now, they may have seen it in advance. I don't know. But they told them they could pray whatever they want. And they prayed very clearly, not in some generic form to God, but they prayed to Jesus. In fact, his name was mentioned quite frequently there and then the following day at the inaugural prayer service. Folks, that's encouraging, all right? Now, I can tell you there's probably going to be times that there are going to be things that Donald Trump in his administration does that I don't agree with. I've raised some issues about the State Department and the personnel there, and those are going to continue to be issues. Let me tell you, though, for the most part, I think we're off to a great start with what he is doing and the things he's saying. And the fact that he made a speech that was continuing the themes of his campaign should give everyone a sense of not everyone. The left is certainly not going to be comfortable, as we saw them taking to the streets and burning things and attacking cars and looting and rioting, or not looting, but they were rioting. And it shows me, as I said this on Fox with Neil Cavuto on Saturday morning. I said, look, I can understand why some on the left are upset, because the culture of lawlessness is going to end. This Barack Obama with his pen and phone forcing these cultural changes on Americans who wasn't done through Congress. People don't receive it, don't want it. And then he was, this lawlessness that was running rampant in this administration. That was the other thing that Donald Trump made reference to the police, military, supporting them, upholding the law. This is a new day. And I do believe that at this point in time, Americans who appreciate the Constitution, who value our freedom of religion, and the power that freedom has to lead to a transformation of our country and our culture should be very excited. Now, it's not a done deal. The future is yet to be defined. But this is our opportunity, folks. So I like Reagan, having her on the program talking about them going out to the march and being bold into the sea of these liberal ideologues and abortion activists. They went right there in the middle of it. Folks, you can stand up where you are at work, your neighborhood. I'm not talking about being ugly or disrespectful to people. But the day of us keeping our mouth shut about the truth, about shrinking back into the shadows of society out of fear that our views are not welcome, need to be over. Darkness needs to hide, not the light. All right, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. I want to get your take on what Donald Trump had to say Friday when he spoke to the nation in his inaugural address. 866-372-7234. When we return here on Washington Watch, don't go away.
Hey, do you want to go on a vacation with a purpose? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. A lot of people love to go to the beach. I'm one of them. How about the mountains? Yeah, a lot of folks are raising their hand right now when I say the mountains. Well, this year, why don't you go with us on a spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and have a vacation with an educational and a spiritual purpose. If you'd like to go with us in June or September to D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, we'd love to have you join us. Just find out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will join us as our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way on our rich Christian heritage here in the U.S. We hope you can join us, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning.
This is a time of madness, it really is. This is from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. He said, evil attacks the weakest, denies truth and love, is defeated through Jesus Christ. And I just love that. Evil is defeated through Jesus Christ. And so let's not be afraid. And if you are afraid, then, you know, make yourself right with God.
Sandy Rios in the morning. Weekday mornings at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
First Love, the latest album release from Dennis Jernigan, features some of his earliest songs, as well as some new ones. It's a musical return to Dennis Jernigan's first love, Jesus.
You are my first love.
Psalm 32:7 says that He is our hiding place and He will surround us with songs of deliverance. I can't think of a better picture of a relationship than me singing to my God singing to me. And true intimacy is just as simple as this. Lord, here's my heart. Into me, see.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all.
I stand amazed in all of your glory.
First Love by Dennis Jernigan. Available now for a suggested donation of $12.99 at afastore.net.
I stand amazed.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. And folks, let me remind you again that the Family Research Council, we're able to bring you this program because of folks like you across the country that partner with us. If you'd like to be a partner with the Family Research Council and Washington Watch, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow links over. Also, I didn't ran out of time there. We're talking about the activities. Friday night, we had a fantastic inaugural ball with about 800 Christian leaders and others from across the country that came in. And in fact, if you'd like to see something, we had some great entertainment. Carrie Job was there. We had Shonda Pierce was there. Guy Penrod. It was just the Crabs. It was just fantastic. It's on our Facebook. We streamed it live on Facebook, and it's still there. Over 400,000 people watched, and so you can check that out at either go to my Facebook page or FRC's Facebook page, and it's just great. You'll be encouraged. We had prayer, scripture reading, but it moved very quick. It was just great, fantastic. My team did a great job putting it together, and everybody had a great time. All right, 866-372-7234. Phone lines are full, but keep trying. We're going to talk about your thoughts on President Trump's comments, his speech, his inaugural speech, but a lot of criticism. People saying it was very dark, it wasn't unifying. Well, you know what? The country's not unified, as we saw on the streets later that night. But he's about doing what the American people elected him to do. And quite frankly, that's refreshing for a politician not to start dialing it back, but saying, you know what? This is what I campaigned on. This is what we're going to do. All right, let's go to Oklahoma, where Matthew is on the line. Matthew, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you, sir. I appreciate all you do and all that you've done. And I was really excited and encouraged by what I heard. I'm a teacher, and I'm not able to hear, stopping over the day to do to really to listen to everything. I probably should have, but I really was encouraged by what I heard and what I've seen. And I've been a Cruz supporter, I guess, from the beginning, but I really value and support the Second Amendment. I'm also a veteran. And really think the 10th Amendment's kind of been ignored for quite a while. But I just want to tell you thank you for what you have done, because you really encouraged me to get a little more involved politically and to speak my mind more openly. And, you know, without people like you, I don't think this would have happened. So thank you. And I was very encouraged by what he said, what I did hear.
Well, thank you, Matthew. I appreciate that. And thank you for your service to our country and continuing to serve in the capacity of a teacher. And I'm always encouraged when I talk to Christians who are teachers, and that they are helping raise up the next generation. And so thank you for that. I appreciate that very much, the kind words. And I'm hoping that more people, Matthew, around, more Christians around this country will sense the urgency, but B, the opportunity to be bold and to just speak up. And again, not in a way that in any way we're not angry. You know, it's fascinating how the left projects hateful, angry bigots. I mean, that's not us. But it's time that we stop being silent and we start speaking the truth. Because if we want people to come to an understanding of the truth, we got to speak it. And that's what a part of this is the intimidation of trying to shut down people from speaking. And so then they can just basically run the table and have their way, which they've had for the last 8 years. And of course, the media, I've talked about that with several people about this, that I think they were so shocked that they lost the election. They just have not been able to do anything. I mean, they just haven't been able to process it and respond to it. I think they need some maybe anger management classes, some, therapy, or, maybe they should take up knitting. I don't know, something that would help them process the fact that they are no longer going to have a president that is going to force their liberal agenda down the throats of the American people, because Congress has never been with them. The president has done it unilaterally, oftentimes outside the boundaries of the Constitution. Matthew, again, thanks for calling. All right, let's go to Tennessee, where we have a first-time caller, Gail. Gail, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony, for taking my call. I listen to you every afternoon. I know that conservatism is back in the Oval Office. Donald Trump said all of the right things in his speech, just what America has been listening to over the campaign time. And I know that his stand for life was the reason I voted for him. Number one, for the Republican platform, which is definitely pro-life, and for Mike Pence. And I've got to admit, Donald Trump knows how to pick talent.
Well, you are not alone in that viewpoint, Gail, in that, as you said, you voted for him because of the pro-life position that he has stated and that the party has, and for Mike Pence. And I've talked about this before, but 59% of those who voted for Donald Trump and Mike Pence did so because of the Republican Party's strong stance on the life issue and religious liberty issue. So, Gail, you are in good company. Now it's our time and turn to go and help bring more people to that understanding of why life is important, why religious liberty is important, and not be intimidated. That is a large part of what was taking place this weekend, was to try to intimidate. And I have to give it to Donald Trump and the team that he has put together. And I talked to several of them after the swearing in. They're not going to be intimidated. And here's, again, the I had given out the White House switchboard number, and I just want to echo what Mark Meadows said earlier, why it is so important for the White House to reinforce it. All right, I mean, they're holding their ground, but it's good for them to know that the American people are with them. So that comment line, 202-456-1414, and just let people tell them that you're grateful for the president's pro-life stand. Gail, thanks so much for listening and for calling in. We're going to stay in the state of Tennessee, the volunteer state, and we're going to talk to Dave, who is holding on the line. Dave, welcome to Washington Watch. Dave, you there?
Hey, good afternoon, Tony. Thank you for taking my call, and definitely thank you for all that you do. I thought the president's speech was actually kind of a ray of light, not very darkening, with how many times he said "we" and the American people instead of "I," like the previous president.
Yeah, I had to get out my dictionary because I hadn't heard that word in almost 8 years, and I had to get the definition of it because I've not heard that from the White House.
That's right, and you know, as a military member, one of the things that is encouraging is what he said about the military.
Yes.
So one of the things that he could do right away to really encourage the military a little bit is, for example, today we had to stop our mission and attend transgender training in our military. And all it takes from him is a verbal order, unlike a, you know, executive order for a lot of the services. As commander-in-chief, he can say, stop the madness and focus on the mission.
Excellent point, Dave. That message is being communicated, and I think there's so much to do. They're making a list of priorities, but you're absolutely correct. And this is one that there's been a lot of discussion about it with congressional members, those on the Armed Services Committee. And even this came up in part in the confirmation hearings of the Secretary of Defense and you know, his message, General Mattis, was very clear, just what you said. It's about the mission. It is about being successful in the mission, and that is to defend America, is to defend our ideals, our people, and nothing else really matters. And so I am very hopeful that we are going to return to that. Now, a couple things still required, Dave. Is number one, thank you for your service. We continue to need men and women of faith to be in our nation's military. I know over the last 8 years, a lot of parents said, should my kids join the military? I mean, it's so bad. True, it's bad. But, you know, going to most public colleges today is bad. We just have to prepare our kids, prepare them to so that they know what they believe and that they truly believe it and they can defend what they believe and live it out. And be bold. This is, look, the policies and things are going to shift back to respecting our freedom to express ourselves. I mean, that was already in the law. It was just that this administration really, or the past administration really twisted it. Like in the military, we inserted language into the National Defense Authorization Act that made clear people could exercise their faith, not just believe it, but exercise it. This administration didn't enforce that. It will happen now, I'm pretty confident. But we need to continue to pray because there are cultural forces at work. So we need to pray that they would make the right decisions and have the courage to follow those decisions through and that the right people are in the right places. Because one thing that I have experienced in my little over 20 years in the political realm is that personnel is policy. And that's why I've been harping so much on the State Department, because that's one of the worst places when it comes to the whole abortion, LGBT agenda being forced onto other countries and through the back door into this country through the United Nations. So, Dave, thanks so much for listening and for calling. And keep us posted on the changes that you may see. Coming in the near future in our nation's military. All right, let's go to Missouri where Jeff is on the line. Jeff, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, man, thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it. I listen to you every single day on my way home from work. And, you know, I love your show. Couple things, you know, I had to work, you know, unfortunately, I had to work during the day on Friday, but I did, this whole thing I love about DVR, I recorded the whole thing. you know, he's just listening to, like, Chuck Todd and you know, Tom Brokaw and everything else, and their commentaries on his inaugural address. He was, you know, catching a lot of slack on it, and it just, the only thing they said, well, it was a very divisive speech, and you know, that's not the way I took it. I mean, he came out and he said, this is the problem that we've been facing for the last 8 years, and it's time to change.
Yeah, and it was. I thought he was pretty bold, because I was sitting amongst a number of governors, Republican governors and senators, and you know, he said, you know, the political stuff, all these politicians who promise and never deliver, that's over. We're going to take action. It's time for the American people. You know, this is their time, and we're going to act on it. And I watched the expressions of some, and they were a little uncomfortable. I think he's going to push them. I think it's great. He's going to push them to act. But, you know, I agree with you, Jeff. I sat there the whole speech, and I was shocked later when, of course, we were so busy with so many activities, I wasn't really tracking the news because I watched it firsthand, so I didn't need them to tell me what I just heard. But when I did later on, I was shocked. I said, they must have been listening to a different speech, because there wasn't anything dark about his speech. I thought it was now, if you were talking about Chuck Schumer's speech, which he almost got booed off the platform, it was kind of funny watching the audience. I thought maybe if they could have, they probably would have gotten to the stage and carried him away. But the reception that Donald Trump got was overwhelming. Because, again, as everybody noted, he continued to promote the themes that he campaigned on, which is why so many people supported him. Now, again, look, there are going to be times that I'm going to disagree, and I'll say that. I'll communicate it to them. But look, when they get it right, they get it right. And I am more optimistic about what we might see happen in this country today than I have been in, well, I mean, I go back to the Reagan years. I wasn't that involved in politics. I was in the Marine Corps. But I was hopeful about the future because of the leadership we have. We've not seen strong leadership since then. And now having an ability to help shape that future by working with this administration, I'm very hopeful. We need to be prayerful. We need to be involved. But the future holds promise. And that is why the left is so exercised. They overplayed their hand. And their day may not return if we get it right. Folks, thanks so much for listening. I hope you'll return again tomorrow night. We'll continue our conversation. Lord willing, I'll be back. Until then, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.